In a world full of movie podcasts, here is one more. Welcome to Defend Your Movie with Sean Donnelly
and Andrew Fiore.
The time has come again. The champion must end. It can only be one of us. Victoria!
Everybody, and welcome to your favorite podcast with a new brand. I don't know how many times I'm going to do that. It's the DYM podcast. We're so excited about it. I don't know how many times I'm going to do that joke about the branding. I don't know if people get that I think people realize I'm being sarcastic when I'm being like, the new brand. We're branding. Everything's about branding. Everything's about content and branding.
New and improved for kids.
Yeah. You already know us. I'm Sean Donnelly. That's Andrew Fiore. You know us. You know the knuckleheads. You know, are we still Dutch and the Cool Breeze or no?
Oh, yeah. That'll never change. Dutch and the Cool Breeze are here to stay.
It's eternal, I think. I think it's like the ocean. It's like the waves. It's just eternal.
Yeah.
Like
a cool breeze. Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Just chilling out in New Jersey at my mom's house, getting away from the city for a little bit, which is nice. You really take it for granted when you have a backyard as a kid. You don't realize how important that's going to be to you as an adult when you live in a city like we do. As a kid, you go, yeah, this is whatever. I have all this opportunity and I could be spending so much time out here. And then you move to a one-bedroom apartment in Queens.
Yes.
And you cherish that now. You know what I mean? So I come back here. I'm in the hammock. I'm running around the yard. I'm playing war games by myself. I'm doing all the things I did when I was a kid.
When you live in the city for a while, then you go back home, you feel like a millionaire.
Oh, my God. That, too.
Because you're like, it's also because it's like, I have a house to myself. This is fantastic.
Yeah. That, everything's cheaper, too. I was telling you, I got a smoothie earlier. It was like $3. For like a large, it's crazy, you know?
That same thing in Brooklyn or Manhattan or even Queens, you're like talking like $8 for that thing.
I know. I got to take out a mortgage.
This is how much I wish I had a backyard. I just bought an electric smoker.
Ooh, yeah. Where are you going to use that thing?
You can use it indoors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then I talked to my friend and he's like, "Oh, do you have a vent? Do you have like a hood, like for ovens?" And I was like, "No, why?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah. you're fucked. You're gonna have so much smoke in your apartment." I'm like, "Well, listen. I think first off, I don't get
it's in the name apartment. Smoker.
Yeah, exactly. And I the way I picture it, and people are gonna think I'm such an idiot for this, but like." I'm just going to point a box fan at it and like towards the window of my kitchen. Like I'm not going to
try it.
It's not going to be like a house fire level of smoke. It's going to be just smoky. And then
I'm a little wary.
Are you really?
Yeah, a little. I want to see it. What's the first test run going to be? What's the meat?
Well, I'm going to do ribs and chicken because that's like
classic.
It's a good starter one, and then I'm going to try to build my way up to brisket because that's where the real like artistry of smoking comes in.
Oh baby, I love a brisket.
Oh, I love it. I'm love the whole process. I love learning about all that stuff. Like I watch these videos about smoking brisket, and that the electric smoker is not like your pellet or like your traditional smoker like they use at the restaurants.
Right.
But apparently it's a good starter thing to use to try to learn how to do this.
That's
so if I get good at it, maybe I move somewhere where I can have like my own, like a regular smoker. You know,
yeah,
like
that for kind sure. Of thing. You know? It reminds me of in Gremlins, the dad is eating the venture, the smokeless ashtray. It's like smoker.
Wasn't that the smokeless smoker invented that? That's a Shark Tank idea right there.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that a real thing, the smokeless ashtray that they had?
I think along
in the 80s,
in the years, yeah, there had to have been something, some sort of contraption like that.
Where it was some kind of thing where I guess maybe it was pulling down the smoke as you were smoking.
Yeah, something.
Like it was sucking it in, like an air shaft thing.
Yeah, who the heck knows? I was I was thinking about this the other day. I was watching an old clip of Seinfeld and you know how they do the stand up in the beginnings, in the early ones. and it was, you could see puffs of smoke coming up around him. Did you ever do stand-up in clubs when smoking was still allowed?
Nope.
No, not in clubs. Me neither. I think I started enough, but I wasn't working clubs when that was still allowed. But yeah. I definitely bartended in bars when before smoking got banned in bars in New York City.
And would you get home and just be
Yeah. You forget how much it sticks to you. And, like, I was always a not a full-time smoker. I would always have a few. And now, like, I haven't smoked in years now, but I used to in college. And
like,
after college.
While you were drinking kind of thing.
Yeah, like that kind of thing. I never, like, really bought packs and was a full-timer. But you forget, if you're a non-smoker and you're just at a bar, like, I'd have girlfriends who'd be like, yeah, it's in my hair. I don't smoke. It's just like, I can't imagine that lifestyle anymore, but I also kind of miss it and romanticize it a little bit.
Well, you know what it is? It harkens back to the day of cool. It's like, talk about movies, like cool, like smoke on film in a bar scene is so much cooler.
So much
cooler. I think they probably still even add, they don't put like smoke in there, but they're definitely putting a filter on a bar scene now because you still need that misty. It's supposed to be like that's what bars are supposed to be, like this intimate, like this kind of this hazy experience. That's what you need, you know?
Also, do you ever think about it like this? Like, you know, you've done a ton of acting. It's the hardest part to me a lot of times when you're acting is when you're not speaking and it's trying to get out of your head, be like, should I be doing something with my hands? What should I be doing? If you're smoking, that's kind of a built-in thing to do, and it kind of takes your mind off your line because you're so inside your head, you know? I think when you go, I'll light up a cigarette, and it will just look natural.
Did I tell the story on the podcast about the Tracy Morgan story? With it kind of fits into what you're talking about. When I did...
Tell it, Dad.
I did a small part on that Tracy Morgan show.
Right.
Last OG. So the guy was supposed to be kind of like, first he's supposed to be upset that they're trying to break into like the VIP section. It's like Tracy and his son.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I remember.
And then, so what happens is he comes over and then I'm like, tickets please. And I guess at first I didn't do it to his liking. So Tracy Morgan right away goes, you're acting. Get this guy something. Get him something.
You acted.
Get him a toothpick.
Okay.
So I go, what the fuck? And then they run off and they get me a toothpick. But I got to be honest, it made all the difference. Like, it made it very easy to do. Like, I had the toothpick in my mouth. The only beef I have is the take that they use for one of the lines, because it kind of cuts back and forth. I kind of barely get the line out because of the toothpick. I don't know why they use that. I think it's because they don't care. It was a small character. They don't care.
Right.
But for me, I remember that take and being like, oh, I barely said it right in that take. Like, why would you use that take, you know? Because we did it like three
times. Hilarious. Yeah, a little stuff like that. Yeah,
but toothpick. Like the toothpick in the mouth, like it did make me like it, Tracy Morgan's out of his mind. But it made me feel like I'm the guy. Like you're the guy. Like you.
I think that's why everybody smoked in all those old movies. Nobody doesn't smoke.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and because smoking was like you were smoking, it was not. They literally did not think it was a problem.
Right.
Like they were like, you would even kids would smoke with their parents around, and the parents they didn't know it was a health hazard. How could you not know it was a health hazard?
I know it's smoke.
How hypnotized are you as a public, like, and susceptible to like marketing that you don't realize that you're breathing in? Maybe because they thought you're breathing it in and then exhaling it. They didn't think that was it wasn't staying or something. Like, you know.
Also,
like,
people don't care because there's still tons of smokers out there, and we're fully aware of all the damage it does. So
if you smoke now, the smokers now are self-aware. Smokers now, if you talk to them, like, I know I'm killing myself, but I don't care. Like, a lot of people use the logic when they smoke. They're like, well, all I'm chopping off is the last 10 shitty years of my life. It's like, yeah, I guess, but I've seen happy 80-year-olds. You know what I'm saying?
Know
like,
what could happen in those 10 years?
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's like that's all up to you. If you're miserable already, then why not jump out a window now?
What if you hit the lottery, like year 11?
Yeah,
and you got millions of dollars. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly. but yeah. So I think the way I always felt about smoking is, I always thought it looked, I still think it looks so cool.
It is cool.
It looks so cool. And if there's any kids listening to the podcast, smoking is cool.
Smoking
really
makes you look really cool. when Bart is, works for the mob and he's hoarding all those cigarettes. And the delivery guy comes in to pick him up, and Homer thinks he's smoking. He's like, "But I'm going to stay here, and you're going to smoke every single one of these cigarettes." And he puts one. He's like, "Dad, you don't understand. I'm not a smoker. I got to do this for my job." And the delivery guy comes in, and goes, "Hey, kid, you look kind of good. You look kind of sophisticated with that cigarette." I love it that they use that one voice for a lot of different characters.
Yeah, that hey, voice. Boyo. Who is that voice? Is it Hank? That's not Hank Azaria.
It's probably a good guess. It's him or Harry Shearer.
Like that old timey New York character thing. That's what that voice is. Hey, it's almost like a variation of the Charles Bronson voice, where he goes, when instead of going to Branson, Missouri, they go to Bronson, Missouri.
Right, and exactly.
No, they see who is it? You see the mom and the kid. And the kid goes,
"So funny."
Mom, let me have a cookie. Hey, Mom, I want a cookie. She goes, "No dice."
This ain't over.
I always thought it looked cool. But I was always, I don't know about you, like, my sister smoked in college, but then she quit. She doesn't smoke anymore. My thing was I don't think I ever mentioned this. There'd be no reason to. My grandmother went to like a party when she was like 18 years old or when she was like 16 or something back in like, you know, the 30s or whatever, like the 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess it must have been the 30s because my mom was born in the 40s, 44. So, and my grandmother went to this party and everybody tried smoking there. And the only person that kept going with it was my grandma, was my nanny, my grandma. And she smoked until she had tongue cancer.
Wow.
And then they had to take off a piece of her tongue and it changed how she spoke. And that's why I don't smoke.
Really? Because
it was like a multi-year reminder, like a time reminder during the year whenever I would see her. Of what smoking can do. Like, you know,
and was she still married?
My parents didn't smoke. No, my grandfather died before I met him. He died when my mom was like 20.
Oh, yeah, I got to. I was going to say it. I wonder if she French kissed anybody.
Oh, come on. you're killing me here. I think she might have. She had a boyfriend, this guy Jim, who was like off the boat Irish guy. Great guy. He was a great guy. Oh, we loved him. We loved this guy, Jim.
Jim.
He kind of looked, it's funny, Jim was very, he was very stiff though. He kind of looked like one of those like Hall of Presidents animatronic things from like from like Disney World. But he was a very like classy, like old school gentlemanly type guy. You know what I'm saying?
Chap.
A good old chap, a good old lad, a good lad. But they must have French kissed, but thanks for doing that. Thanks for ruining my life, Andy. I appreciate
what does she
that.
Sound like?
I'm not going to do an impression of my dead grandma, dude. That's not happening. What a monster you are. Considering in light of what's going on in the world right now with you, I can't believe you're doing this. My
good grandma kiss.
My you son of a bitch. My nanny was a saint.
There's, of course. Never,
she was
no.
a saint. She was
old
amazing
Nana
woman.
Donnelly.
Not Donnelly. Brady.
Oh.
Brady.
My oh. But yeah, you know what that reminded me of? There was, back in the day, people would go to like a certain type of party. They were like, "I'm going to a smoking party tonight."
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah. They always had
like
theme
that was a
parties.
Thing. Yeah, it would be like, "We're going to a necking party."
Yeah, I think they would have that with everything. Like, it wouldn't just be like the, like, no, they had a makeout party. I think makeout party. And then it got to like people our age, and then you wouldn't call them, it wouldn't be a makeout party, it'd be a hangout where people go off and make out.
Yeah, we just called them boy-girl parties. We'd be like, it's a boy-girl party. You know? Because that was like eighth grade, the birthday parties started to include the opposite sex.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
And did you, I don't think there's anything better than that, like, the earliest makeouts. Like, I don't think there's anything... First of all...
I think the only thing that tops it is... is going upwards sexually, you know.
You think the first time having sex?
Yeah, I think the first times, not necessarily the first time losing virginity, but like the first times you're having like regular sex, or like you have a girlfriend and you're like, I can have sex kind of whenever I want.
Oh, like, yeah, that's fantastic.
But, like, it's still early. You're still, like, a teenager, like, in your early 20s for me, at least, you know, like.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. If you compare the first time I had sex with the first time I made out, makeout wins out every time. Like, if you time for time, like, you're not doing it, like, an over the course of time, you know, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was in eighth grade. Christina Marinaro was my first French kiss. She went in. I remember her, like, being very forceful with her tongue, just like very aggressive, and I was just like, whoa, that's what it is, you know?
Oh, that's so freaking funny.
It was a total classic spin the bottle situation. It was actually at my house. It was my birthday party. I had the girls over, and then the boys slept over. It's like a boy-girl party, and then the boys slept over. Big sleepover.
When she did it, did you go, whoa, how's my stomach taste? Did you go, how's my stomach taste, she says. that's Matt Dillon. Something about Mary. How's my stomach taste, she says. She says, and he's got the fucking teeth. The cat teeth. Rough. How's my stomach taste, she says.
I'm fixing my tie. I go, hey, easy with
me. Wait, so she was like a strong tongue kisser.
Strong tongue kisser, yeah. I'm still like Facebook friends with her today.
Are you really? And she married with kids?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I don't remember. I think then it was like until sophomore year, I had no contact physically with girls. And
like, maybe, so your freshman year, you were like donezo.
Yeah, I mean, I also went to a boys-only school, like a private, you know, Catholic school.
Oh, yeah.
There was the girls' school right next door. So it wasn't like for lack of girls' presence. It was just for lack of any skills on my behalf whatsoever.
And your dances had like girls.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It wasn't just a group of boys going, hey, Freddie, check out these moves.
It's just like a bunch of, it's an all boys school.
No, we didn't
all
invite
boys
all
dance.
The girls' schools. So it was cool. It was great. And also, like, I had all my friends from my town's public school. So it's like, it purely wasn't for lack of female presence. It was just, I had no game whatsoever.
We're very similar. Like, I'm the same way, dude. I was always, there was like a time where I was at the mall, Roosevelt Field Mall in Long Island. Shout out.
Great mall.
Great mall. And I'm walking down the mall. Like, this is at the time, like, I was probably a little bit older. I was probably like 15 or 16, 15 maybe, 16. And I was with my buddy John. And this girl walks by and she's like staring at me. Even I knew she was staring at me. She was like staring at me. And it was like a good thing. She was like smiling and staring at me. And my buddy John like sees her and he looks over at me at one point after we've already passed her. He looks over like, huh? And I go, yeah, what the fuck is she looking at?
I know. Yeah, you're like, she want to fight?
Yeah. I'm like, she got a problem? Let's go down?
Yes. You're so unaccustomed to girls paying attention to you.
So, but yeah, I'm like, I still to this day, I don't really have. I have my moments, I think. You have that, right? Like, you have your moments.
Yeah, I had that sophomore year, I had a girl. I mean, since this is still a 50% a movie podcast, I had a really like my first kind of steady-ish girlfriend. Was named Meg Ryan.
No way!
Yeah, yeah. And she was super cool and super cute. It was one of those things where I was like, I can't believe I'm in this scenario.
Yeah.
You know, she let me feel her boobies and we never went any further than that, but it was like really like it lasted probably now that I look back only like maybe a month or two, but it seemed like it was like the longest. It seemed like we were married at the time.
When you're in high school,
talk on the phone and we'd meet up outside of school, and it was like the beginning of those parties where you would go with other couples and like you'd go to somebody's house. And all the couples would kind of pair off. And those were like the makeout parties. And that didn't happen to me.
That's what I was talking about.
It's like sophomore year of high school for me.
We also used to make out like outside. Like
anywhere, dude.
Yeah, like I would make out. Like we met these girls once. This girl got mad at me once because I just, her name was Cheryl. And she was like.
she was a secretary at my dad's firm.
But she was super cute, and when we were, I used to hang out at a video store.
Cheryl.
I used to hang out at a video store named Video Quest when I was like 14, 15, 16 years old. Like, we loved it. Like, it's one of the best parts of my childhood was us like skateboarding over to Video Quest, hanging out, playing video games, and like going somewhere else at some point, whatever. and Cheryl, we all met these girls and we brought them to the back of VideoQuest at one point, and I'm making out with her and she had a star, she was Jewish, she had a Star of David necklace. Yeah. And all I said was, is that the Star of, I was like asking, I'm like, is that the Star of David? Meaning like, I don't know. Is that the Star of David?
Sure.
Like, I just asking.
Fair, fairy.
And then she goes, yeah. I go, oh, you're Jewish. And she goes, yeah, is that a problem? That's what she said to me. And I was like, no. I go, and I always wanted to do a bit about this. I'm like, I wanted to do a good fellas. What kind of fucking people are they? What are they? I always wanted to do a bit about this because she goes, I go, oh, you're Jewish. And she goes, yeah, is that a problem? And I go, lady, I'm 16 years old. I have a boner all of the time. You could be a Nazi. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, Heil Hitler. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm a 16-year-old, but I call people lady. Lady.
I'm an old-timey 16-year-old. Listen, I think of the bee's knees, lady.
Baby, you know I love you.
But yeah, so she got like a little upset, but it wasn't that upset because then we just went back to making out. Like it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I love the Jewish gals.
I'll tell you, man, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Jewish gals. I'm attracted to the Jewish lady.
Me too, baby.
Yeah.
I love. They are the chosen ones for me as well. But that is kind of fun to look back on those early formative. I'm in my mom's house. So I don't want to like speak too loudly. I'm like, I lost my virginity. Like she's upstairs. But she knocked on the door. My mom, when I was
losing
inside a woman for the first time.
No.
Yeah.
No.
God,
way.
I really hope that door's closed.
Yeah, but she meant she knocked again, like just a repeat.
Yeah, yeah. Like this? No. Flashback.
No way. While it was going
because
on,
because I had the girl I was dating over. I was a senior. I was, I guess, what you would consider a late bloomer with the old V card.
I was 17.
I was 18. Yeah. I was kind of a grade back. I was older for my grade. So, I had the open door rule in my house when I had this girl over, and I closed the door and locked it and was blasting music to cover up any sort of. And
good move, 18-year-old Andy. Nice move.
Yeah, I was like, we should be fine.
Like your parents are like, oh, his door's closed and the music's blasting. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, and we're getting into it, and then it was. Doors closed, because I would go in, and it was one of those things before you do that we'd make out and we'd lock the door, and it was like a drive by, like, hey, door open rule, and walk by. So it was just like one of them, but I was just like, no, this is the first time. And now I can come without somebody knocking on the door.
I was about to say, I'm like, now you can't finish without somebody. Listen, I know this, it's a weird fetish, but could you stand outside the door and knock?
Yeah, yeah.
No. You find those videos.
I'm paying my landlady off.
Yeah.
I'm paying kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you won't see anything, kid. Just knock on the door and leave. That's fine.
I'm creating jobs here. But yeah, man, what a great time. Just, the 90s, the mid-90s, man.
Oh, it was fantastic.
No responsibilities, just, dude, I'll tell you this much, too. I'm, in my hometown now, hanging with my mom this week, and we went for a walk in downtown Morristown, New Jersey yesterday, and I think this is just for lack of being out in the public, but I'm just walking by women and girls and going, and just looking at every single one like a creep because I just haven't been around people. And it's like women especially, you just like, I'm a single man. I'm just like, oh, she's great. She's beautiful. Look at this. She's beautiful too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's from also, I think it's both. Cause I think it's from being a lack of being outside too, because I went and did that Bel Air diner parking lot.
Oh
show.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Half the set went well and then half of it not so well. I was like that.
Yeah, same.
And this lady, I got off early. This lady would not stop talking to me. Like, she was like, she was in, the way I can describe it, because I don't want to sound like an asshole. There was a lady there, and she was in the chair section. So the way this show goes is most of the audience is in their cars, and yep. They beep or they flash their lights if they like a joke, whatever.
Do you follow automotive news, or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
This lady, and then they have tables and chairs like right up front, like four or five tables and chairs. And this lady, like, from the get-go, was, like, talking to Jay, who hosted the show, talking to Gary Veeder, and then would not stop talking to me. So I tried to talk to her, and she was a woman. She was in, like, a scantily clad outfit. Now, normally, I'd say, whatever, go for it, whatever. But she was an odd duck, and it wasn't, like, it was a dress that you would wear if you're like you were doing your own version of Dancing with the Stars. Like it was like an even more exposing gown, like cheap gown type thing where her boobs were popping out. Like, hey, go for it.
But it was Dancing with the Cars.
Yeah. But it was 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'll show myself out.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. It was 6 o'clock in the afternoon at a diner in Astoria.
I know.
And she's in the parking lot on a plastic chair in a pink, like, crazy dress. So at one point, and then she also seemed like she was on something. So at one point I go, well, what do you do? And she goes, jack of all trades. And I was like, okay, that's gotta be Hooker.
I know exactly this type of audience member.
Yeah. I go, that's gotta be Hooker, right? I'm like, you're Hooker. Like I'm like, why wouldn't you want to just say what you did unless you're just trying to be difficult? And I'm like, that outfit. I'm like, I'm not anybody to judge anybody what anybody wears, but like, it's a little bit, it's like just out of place. Like, it's weird that you're here in that outfit. It was very strange.
Maybe you were on her turf. Maybe the diner parking lot might have been her workspace.
The comedy show was built around her. She's like, hey, I'm working here. I'm working. But yeah, so then she wouldn't stop talking. And I had a moment where I was like, this sucks. Like, you won't stop talking. She's like, no, go. She's like, yeah, you're doing good. She did that thing. She goes,
Jay's got to regulate that, man. Come on. It's like.
I know. She goes, you're doing good. You're doing good. And I was like, Jay, I'm just going to get off. And I just got off. It was like the worst. I was a little bit ashamed of myself. And I was also proud of myself of the laughs that I even got from the situation.
Yeah, because that'd been the first time you were on stage since the shutdown.
In three months. Yeah.
Did it feel good? Do you have that muscle memory?
Not really, not yet. Well, no, a little bit, like on certain things. But it wasn't because she wouldn't let me get a word out. Like, I was trying jokes, and then she would just say stuff on top of the joke. So it was like a show where somebody
actually, this feels right.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is actually what happens every day. But no, it was like I'll tell you this much. The only thing I was surprised is that I wasn't really nervous. I wasn't nervous at all. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, that's something. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't forget that, at least, you know.
I didn't feel nervous either. I felt nervous to remember my jokes and remember, like, certain tags. I thought of one sitting in my friend's yard the other day. I was like, oh, my God, I just totally forgot a joke that was, like, a major part of my old set. And it just like came to me weeks later. I was like, holy shit, how did I forget that? You know, because I had done a headlining set too. And had just completely forgotten about that whole part of my act, which is like, that's what's going to happen.
Yep. And that's the other thing I wanted to do too. I kind of didn't want to do it. The minute I went into old jokes, I was like, oh, it sucks. I'm like,
I had a little bit of that too.
Everything's different now.
Did the headlights flashing kind of make you feel good though?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
I got a great warm feeling from the seeing those bright lights flash at me. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. But, here's the weird thing, too. It's that, you know, I had that, and then I did that headlining set and that tailgate in Pennsylvania. And then I even went up to
Mohegan Sun. I'm doing that on the 18th.
Oh, great. Yeah, and like it's fun, but then you get that fix, and then immediately you go, well, now I have nothing for who knows God when. You know, like the foreseeable future, I have nothing on the books. So it's like,
well, God, you feel like you just started over again.
Yeah, it really sucks.
You know what's so funny? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they brought up like going back to the cellar, right? And I was thinking, if it's long enough, do you think they'll handle the cellar? Like they'll have people re-audition for the cellar, or you think it'll just pick up with lineups?
Yeah, I think they'll just pick up.
Yeah.
I don't think she wants to go through that all over again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying everybody.
That's a lot of work on her end, too. Maybe for guys like me who are still like kind of newer, it might be a little tougher, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like you kind of have to go, wherever the spots are and, you know, figure things. Like, it's like, that's why I'm like, oh, I'll just do whatever. Like even this girl has a show in the back of QED. And I was like, and then I didn't realize it was a live show. And I go, oh, yeah, can I do that? Like, I was like getting excited.
Yeah,
If this was pre-corona, I would have been like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever.
I know.
But then now I'm like, oh, can I do your show in the back of QED, which is a place in the story of Queens.
Yep, yep.
So whatever, man. I don't know what to tell you. But I was excited to – I actually was excited for this show. I just was annoyed at how it went down. And yeah. And I was annoyed at the lady, but I was trying to do that thing where you stay positive. Like I'm like where you're up there and you're not liking what's going on, but you're like, no, I love you. You're great. Like you're loving love you. But really deep down, you don't want to be like, but you don't want to get back to that negative place. I'm like, well, this is the only stage time I'm going to have. That's why I was kind of annoyed. I bailed, but I was like, if I can't get any jokes out, I can't.
No, totally.
You know, that's that kind of thing. So whatever.
Maybe it was Cheryl. 25 years later.
She shows up in a cigarette with a cigarette in her mouth. I go,
yo, lady, listen, I told you once.
She's smoking a cigarette. I go, that looks really cool.
Hey, you look kind of sophisticated.
You look kind of sophisticated with that cigarette, kid. Have you been watching any movies?
Yeah, I have been watching a few things. I'm really getting few and far between on things to watch. But I took a flyer on a film called Looks That Kill. And it was kind of a...
Not to be mistaken with the Richard Grieco vehicle, If Looks Could Kill.
Correct. Not to be mistaken. this is a movie. It came out this year. It was directed and written by this guy, Kellen Moore. Has really no lead actors that you would know because they're young kids, but Peter Scolari plays the father in it. You might know him as the other half of Tom Hanks' Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
And Andy Mumolo.
Peter Scolari, I went to an audition. We both auditioned for the same thing once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, hey, man. And he's like...
Father? Dad?
Yeah, probably, you know. But he was like, but he was there, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? Hey, like,
for sure.
You want? Yeah.
I don't care what you say anymore.
No, this is my life. What?
Annie Mumolo, you might know her from, she was like Kristen, what's the name from Bridesmaids? She like co-wrote the Bridesmaids movies with, what's that actress?
Kristen Wiig.
And you'd recognize her. But basically, the most beautiful baby ever is born. And when people look at him directly in the face, they die. That's
the movie?
Yeah, and it's a weird, unique kind of plot. So then,
is it not called the Sean Donnelly story? I'm pretty sure it's.
You are a handsome boy.
I am a handsome lad. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm
fucking but around. Then it kind of flash forwards to he's a kid in high school, and he's got to wear like gauze around his face. And sunglasses and a low hat, and this is kind of his everyday life. And meets a girl, you know, that kind of old story. And it was a very sweet movie. I didn't love it until it kind of really ramped up. It was a short movie, about 1:40. By the way, we got away from that 1:45 timeline of movies. That was a sweet spot for movies. Everything lately has been 2.5-3 hours. Have you felt like that?
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't mind it. You hate it.
I
here's the thing about it also. Was this like a good looking version of the Elephant Man? Like, it's like almost
yes,
like that? Like,
exactly. Yeah. I thought it was like the Invisible Man, the Elephant Man.
Yeah. And it was good?
It was very, yeah, it was good. It was sweet. It had me like tearing up at the end because there's a plot twist in there you don't really see coming with the girl. So it was nice. It really tied in to what we were talking about earlier because it's that like young high school love where you're just like infatuated with this one other person. Like you remember when like, you know, for me,
oh,
like there's this one girl, like I couldn't talk to her enough. I couldn't see her enough. You know, it was just like that young love, puppy love, I guess, where you just consume each other. And it really ties in perfectly because it's kind of that story. But it was a really unique kind of idea, and I did like it. It gets the Cool Breeze Recco.
The Cool Breeze Recco. I know exactly what you mean. So it has that vibe to it, that like,
yeah,
I have a crush kind of vibe.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
That kind of fits in what we were talking about before, because that's another part that – have you, what was the oldest age that you had one, like a crush that you can consider a real crush? I think
mean,
your mind changes. Yeah.
You mean like you see
where,
somebody
like,
or you
where you feel
somebody?
You feel butterflies and you feel, yeah.
I think that still happens to me, you know?
Does it really?
I think so. I think you can, I don't think that has any sort of age limit.
Oh no, I think I'm getting too disenchanted with life.
You think the weight of the world has crushed your romantic side?
I think maybe I'm getting too cynical. I have to stop.
Oh,
being
buddy,
cynical.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, no, because you can still meet a girl and you get, you know, you're like, oh, I think she's really cute. You see, there's that trigger that goes off in your head where you go, oh, I really think I think
yeah.
I have a little crush. You go, I think I have a little crush on this person.
Yeah, I still have that. And one of them that we both know that I had.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But that,
yeah,
that kind
so
of stuff
still happens.
It still happens. That does still happen. But you don't feel the same as you felt when you were a kid. I guess because you're more,
well,
more
also,
innocent back then. You know?
Yeah, that a lot of it. And also, like, yeah. We just, you're more experienced now. So you go, all right, I got to tame it down a little bit.
I had probably the biggest crush of my life was on this girl, Jen Monahan, when I was in high school. This girl, Jen Monahan, who were friends, but we haven't talked
money.
In years. What?
Old Monahan.
Old Monahan. That was like the first probably person, the woman, the girl that I was in like love. I was in like love with her. Like I was like so in love with her.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. But we were friends. Like we were close friends and we hung out. Like I'd say eighth, ninth, probably not 10th grade, probably the 7th, 8th and 9th grade, like middle school into high school. We would go to, like we, I was like, we'd go to her family's house. She had the best family. We'd go to them and hang out. Like during the summer, we'd be there for hours, just in her, me, her, and our other friend Nicole, my friend John, just hanging out in her room. Like it wouldn't be a makeout thing. It would just be like us hanging out. But I was like, she knew it. I think she knew it back then too. She just didn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's like unrequited crushes are like, it's, that's why I think they call them crushes. Because
well, yeah.
it crushes you. Like it fucking crushes you.
Like well, let me ask you this one. Or sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it's shaped like who I was. Like I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like
same
that's
here.
Me. And it didn't get rid of that, but it was the first like dealing with like big rejection, I think, you know?
Let me ask you this. Did you ever have a crush or somebody that you liked and then down the line you were able to maybe hook up with them or something romantic happened? Because I had a big high school crush on a girl and who was a year younger than me. And then we had always stayed in touch and we always ran in the same kind of friends group. And then about 5 years after college, we got together for a little bit.
Oh,
and
that's
it was
fantastic.
One of those things where you're just like, yo!
You know what it is? Not at the point where like you had not with a huge crush point, but like where like you were really into them. I was really into them. Like where you almost like where I've hooked up with people that I never thought it would happen like that.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
a girl where I never thought in a million years that this would ever fucking happen. And then it happens.
Yeah. Those are the ones that keep you going. You go, oh,
oh absolutely. So with the whole time you were doing it, we were like, I can't believe this is happening.
I've had that happen too. I've paused the moment. I've like, freeze frame. I've been in the moment, been like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Do you think the stuff from back then like dictates how you act towards women now? I think so, right?
I don't know. I mean, obviously,
or how you are in relationships and stuff like that. You know, like
I think so.
Yeah,
I think.
Like we talked about it like the other day when we were like what's in a woman's head when like stuff like the story you told about the girl you dated and then she showed up at the show and she was like, oh, I was there and she told you she was there but she didn't come up to you for whatever reason, you know, that kind of thing where it's like you're trying to pinpoint the motives, like why did you do that, what's going on, you know, like,
yeah.
I think that I don't know, I'd say like I've always had the same like outlook. I think it's, I've always had a pretty romantic outlook, I think.
Same here. I've always been a real... I think that's why a lot of us are drawn to the similar movies and stuff like that, you and I. Like, it's because we are romantics, and we do wear our hearts on our sleeves like that, and that was probably set at an early age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm still like that, even though I've grown up and gotten older and had experience with that. I still think, even though you are aware and can look for kind of the warning signs or the flags now, I still am like dumb to it. I'll still like get that crush and go all in, be like, nah, yeah. I don't care about anything else anymore. You know, like this one's different.
Yeah. I had like not an online date. We met up, but we like socially distanced the other night. And we were talking about that. Like after a while, it got to the point in the date where I was like, all right, we're just going to talk about dating, I guess. And I talked about how I'm trying to not be this way, but the way I am is like, oh, if you're into me, I'm into you. Like, I'm like that.
Absolutely.
Kind of guy. Yeah. And I don't want to be that guy, but I also don't want to lose the excitement of that either, where it's like,
right.
It's weird. Like there's being too open to a situation and there's being too closed off. Cause what she was talking about was like, I'm not the type, like I find reasons to get out of it right after the first date.
Yeah.
And I'm the type where I'm like, well, if you still want to meet up, I'll, you know, like I have that with every, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. That's also, you know, that's that thing of like the wearing your heart in your sleeve thing or the, it's a matter of self-worth. I think it has come to
I agree.
That.
Very yeah. much so.
And what me and you have to realize is like, oh, we're worth it to like not just be agreeable all the time. And we're worth it to be like,
very hard to get over that for me.
It's hard for us, and both of us, I'm the same way, to have that thought of going, no, I'm really not that into it, but I'm lying to myself.
You know, yes, like that kind of thing. I think that's what happened with my ex a lot too, was that it was this beautiful girl and she was, you know, younger than me. It was like, why would she be interested in me? And that screwed me up mentally, where I was always trying to overcompensate. I think I wasn't able to be myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that eventually backfired because it's like, well, no, you're a funny guy and, you know, like you got good qualities. And I just like always thought that once something better comes along for her, she's just going to, you know, leave me. And it's just such a shitty way to think, but I have a hard problem. I have a hard time.
Can't help it, right? Yeah, exactly. And you have a ton of good qualities. You know, you have about six or seven, I'd say. No, I'm saying like, that's the thing.
Go
like,
on.
We're like good. Like that's the thing. Like, okay. So what it comes out, what people don't want to talk about is this. There's a lot of stuff comes out about like guys and women. What women don't want to talk about is that you're a lot of the time, what they like is shitheads. Like, and because what they think is I'm going to turn this guy around, or I'm going to people like the idea of being, there's a little bit of fun. There's a fun thing in having what you can't have.
Classic. Want what you can't have.
So if you have a nice guy that's like agreeable, like let's just have fun kind of thing. A lot of women are like, wait, where's the complication here? Why isn't it? Where's the drama here? And not all, obviously not all
not,
women are
not.
Like that. That's not a thing. But in my experience, like I said, this girl the other night, and we actually might even meet up again this weekend, me and that girl. But, the fact of the matter is she was like the things that she was saying that she wanted in a person was like, she wanted an immediate person, like immediate personality to give off the vibes of what you would pick up over the course of a relationship, where she was like, I like guys that are a little bit more like on the rougher side, but also are good at heart. I'm like, you wouldn't realize that until like 2 months in. Like, you're like, like, what are you talking about? Like, and we talked about it, you know, I was like, so that's what people want. They want like the entire thing to be written out for them right away.
Yeah.
Or they want a project, or they want whatever it is. But then there's the flip side of guys like us that are just like, it's, you need to have, you need to be a little bit more, I don't think nuanced is the right word, but a little bit more discerning and a little bit more, a little bit more judgmental than we are. Do you know what I mean? Like, we need to be more judgmental than we are. We're not judgmental at all. We're like, hey, I'm down for whatever.
I know.
Like that kind of thing. Yeah. We need to be a little bit more like, that's where the self-worth part comes in. And they're like,
it is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the same boat, dude. We're like the same with it. And,
yeah.
And therapy helps it for me, but like,
you know what it is,
I can talk a blue streak right now, but then when it comes down to it, I'm like, hey, you want to hang out? I'll hang out. Let's do it. But, you know.
Exact same thing. Yeah, no, I'll cancel my role in a Judd Apatow film. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I won the lotto, but I'll find the ticket later. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to pick up the lottery money. I'll just go hang out with you.
Whatever you wanna do. Yeah, I mean, it's my grandma's funeral, but you know what? I could probably just, you know.
So, I don't know, man. And then also bringing it back to the old school here. I think movies do it as well. I think movies can shape, and I've said this before, I think, in discussions on the podcast. Movies absolutely shape. I mean, they romanticize things in your brain. Like,
totally.
You might watch a show or a movie and you're like, I want that. Like, that's what I really want.
Even for me too, though, music got to me first. But
oh, okay.
Movies also did it, but it was, for me, it was music. It was just that songs about girls and songs about you, you know, I mean, you and the royal, you know, as a guy talking to a girl, the you. But
you,
yeah, that's why High Fidelity I was drawn to immediately, just because it was like, I'm like, oh, this is me. This is a guy who loves music, who's in these relationships and thinks the way. It was just such a mirror of how my brain worked.
Yeah.
It was so identifiable. And I'm reading it again for like the fourth time, the book.
Yeah. Wow. You just reread that like not that long ago.
No. It's been a few years, but read it like three times already.
Oh, I thought you just did it like a few months ago.
No. I caught the end of it on. It's a really great movie, too.
It's a great movie.
It's the movie that John Cusack naturally blossomed into, I think, perfectly.
100%.
For his career.
That's a great point. 100%. It like was the perfect thing for him to do at that time.
Yeah.
And it's also what you picture him being like. I think it probably was him. Like, it is him. Like, it's what you picture him being like. It's like exactly what you picture him being like.
And the one and only movie Bruce Springsteen has ever been in.
So, yes.
Really fun fact.
Well, so. we know you're about your hatred for Bruce Springsteen. So I'm sure you're happy.
I don't
about
love the
that.
Boss. Not my boss.
Not my boss.
I don't hate. I just don't love as much as everybody else does.
What a disgrace! What a disgrace! What a Jersey disgrace!
Yeah, the cops are gonna come knock on my door. I mean, I can't say that in New Jersey.
They drive you outside the state limits. And they're like, hey, listen, you're not going to be able to record your podcast in New Jersey anymore if you're going to say shit like this.
Yeah. It's a guy who talks like that. Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't like the boss. Hey. We don't like you.
Yeah, he's like, what are you talking about the boss like that for? We'll take you outside the state, and then you record your podcast there, your stupid fucking podcast. All right, we can wrap this bad boy up, my friend. What do you got for this? Anything on the especially a romance? Any Zoom dates?
I got nothing, buddy. Oh, it's a sad, bleak scene over here at the Cool Breeze household.
I got
nothing to plug. I guess you can listen to my SiriusXM show. It's you know, we have Raw Report. We have been having brand new episodes every week. We get really fun guests over there. So that's every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Raw Dog 99 and on demand. And they're doing another like free streaming thing. I forget how to do it, but if you research it on Google, I'm sure you could sign up for free for a few months. So check that out.
And I'd say instead of watching Andy's Sirius show, I mean, listening to Andy's Sirius show, you can listen to my Sirius show every Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, you could do both. It's not.
No. You can only do one. And I'd like to say it has to be Celebrate, which is on every Wednesday at 4 p.m.
I was listening to Celebrate the other day and very much enjoying myself. So.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, thank you so much.
I was listening to the Eric Andre show. Real good conversation you guys had.
It was a good conversation. I'm at Shawnee Time on social media. And Andy, what are you?
Andy Fiore across the board.
Hey, guys, we have changed the brand of the podcast, but we still have, we have an Instagram. It's the DYM podcast on Instagram. Send us a message. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you think of the brand reboot.
We'll write back. Here.
Well, we will write back, probably because of quarantine, probably right away. We'll write back right away.
Instantaneously.
We already had a couple of people contact me. They're digging the new format, which I'm really excited about. Shouted out one last week. And guys, we're excited about it, too. We think it's more of a free-flowing discussion. We will talk about a movie still, but it's going to be us doing this. You're going to find out more about me and Andy on this.
I had a great time today.
Yeah, I was blessed. So please listen and rate and review the podcast and tell your friends and all that jazz. And we will see you next Friday. And we love you, right, Andy?
We love all the Defenders. That nickname's not going away.
Not going away. Still the Defenders. And remember, start smoking as soon as possible.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.